Acts chapter number 14. We began this message this morning, and we're just going to continue right along with it here. On the title of the message that I preached on, just simply, Lessons to Learn From. Lessons to Learn From. We're preaching through the book of Acts together, and we're preaching on the opening 18 verses of chapter 14. We've preached all the way down through verse 7 this morning. I'll go back and tap that on the head, and we'll pick up our study in verse number 8 here momentarily. Before we get started, let me remind you again, like I did this morning, but just in case you were not in the service this morning, we appreciate the Spanish ministry here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Brother and Mrs. Velasquez, they're here in the service with us again tonight. We are honored that they have come. They're commuting every weekend to be up here to do visitation and then lead the Spanish ministry on Sunday morning. God is blessing that ministry. We thank God for it. And I encourage you to take this young couple under your wing. Make sure that they weigh more when they leave here than they do every weekend. That would be good, okay? Along with that, I'm asking the church that if you know of Spanish-speaking people, whether you live in the neighborhood with them or whether you know of certain areas like that trailer park you know has a lot of Spanish-speaking people or that apartment complex, or maybe you work with somebody, turn all of those into us. Just call the church office. Just let one of the secretaries know. Give us as much information as you can, and we'll start turning that over to him, and he can do this visitation as we're trying to locate as many people as we can, okay? Acts chapter number 14, let's pray together, and we're preaching part two to this message on lessons to learn from. Let's pray together. Father, bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Several of this will be repeat till I get to point number 5 tonight. If you were to read verses 1 through 18, you'll read how Paul and Barnabas were in the place known as Iconium, where the Bible says together they went into the synagogue and they preached. As a result of their preaching, many were saved, but others were in opposition. They ended up leaving Iconium and they went to Lystra and Derbe, where they also preached the gospel. Then we read of how while they were in Lystra, they met a man that was crippled. He had never walked a day in his life. And Paul perceived that this man had faith to be healed. And Paul told him to stand up. The man leaped and walked. And as a result of this miracle that God gave to authenticate their message so they would turn to him, these people, on the other hand, turned their worship to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas refused their worship and instead tried to point them to the one and true living God. Now, as I summarize that, these opening 18 verses, we're just considering 6 lessons. I gave you 4 this morning. All of them start with the letter D, just to try to help you remember them. Let me go back and tap these from this morning. First of all, we learn a lesson about their delivery in verse number 1. Not going to preach on this, just tap it on the head. The Bible says, and so spake. Not only what we say, but how we say it matters. Number 2, we learn a lesson from the division in verses 2 through 4, that not everybody's going to be happy about it. Not everybody's going to say yes to it. Some people are going to be opposed to it, and we're just to stay the course. Number 3, we learn a lesson from their departure in verses 5 and 6, where there did come the time when God made them aware that their life was in danger, and it was wisdom for them to leave to follow the wisdom that God gave them. And then finally this morning, we learned the lesson on their devotion in verse number 7, that when they left Iconium and they went to Lystra and Derbe, they just kept doing the same thing, preaching the gospel, did not change their message. They were devoted to the method of God. Now we pick up our study in verse number 8 and following. Let's read verses 8 through 13, and I give you lesson number 5 tonight. Here it is. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of whatever that is, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. What's the lesson? Starts with a D. There's a lesson here that we can learn, and it's this. We learn from the danger. We learn from the danger here. Now let me explain what I mean. In these verses, we see a great danger that Paul and Barnabas was fighting against. Let me explain. While at Lystra, Paul called out to a man who had never walked, and he told him to stand up. Now this man stood for the first time and leaped and walked. Now get this, the Lord performed a great miracle that day in order to give authentication to the message of the gospel. Now folks, he doesn't have to do that any longer because we have the entire Word of God, okay? But while the Bible's being written, God gave specific miracles, supernatural miracles, to authenticate the message that people ought to say, wait a minute, something's going on here, okay? But something unexpected happened. These people, instead of turning to God, sought to worship Paul and Barnabas. Now look here, please. I call this a great danger. The danger of receiving man worship when man should only worship God. In other words, Satan has changed his attack. In Iconium, he attacked them with persecution. But now he's attacking them with praise. And may I say this to you? Both are dangerous. One man put it this way, honor can be as great a hindrance to our serving God as dishonor. The praise of man can hurt us as much as the persecution from man. In fact, honor from men can often hurt us even worse than harm from man. G. Campbell Morgan put it this way, the gravest peril threatening these men was that which came to them in the hour when men suggested that they should worship them. That is the supreme peril of the Christian worker. Oliver Green put it this way, Paul and Barnabas endured perils and threatenings. They endured opposition, disobedience, hatred, plottings, stoning. But their gravest peril faced them now. The people of Lystra wanted to offer sacrifice to them in worship. And by allowing such adoration, these men of God could have gained power with these people. They could have become people of high standing. They could have abandoned the road of persecution. They could have taken the easy road out. There are also instances today, get this, where people offer adoration that amounts to worship of ministers and evangelists and missionaries and other Christian workers. Folks, listen to me, please. Men don't offer oxen as a sacrifice to a preacher today, but it's not uncommon for a congregation to get their eyes so fixed on the pastor that they miss the Lord Jesus whom he represents and whom he preaches about. Now, folks, listen to me. A local church can become so engrossed in serving the minister whom they love that to lose him would mean to lose their own zeal for God, and that simply just should not be. Here's what I'm saying to you. Here's the lesson. Here it is now. This is a lesson tonight. That's all we're doing, lessons to learn from. Here's the lesson from this danger that in Iconium, they were under threat, they were under persecution, they fled, they go to Lystra, they perform a miracle. Paul knew that it was God who did that. Barnabas knew it wasn't them, it was God who did that. And then all of a sudden they start saying, Jupiter has come, Mercury has come, let's do worship. Gods are in our midst. That's a great danger. Because look at me, please. Everybody wants what belongs to God. You tell me you don't like it when people worship you. You tell me you don't like it whenever. Now listen, I know, I understand, we get it, but we are flesh, aren't we? We want to be liked. We want to be praised. Let's be honest, which one would you rather have? A throne right here, a stone thrown at you, or a praise thrown to you. Now, there's nothing wrong with complimenting, and I'm not preaching against that. But folks, what I am preaching against is when somebody puts man in the place that only God belongs there. The lesson here is to understand that man worship is just as much an attack of the devil as persecution is. It really is. We need to see the danger of receiving praise that only belongs to God. Now, I'll say this to you. I don't think there's anything wrong with encouraging a speaker and say, that spoke to my heart. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But one of the gravest dangers that God's preachers and God's ministers and everybody who serves God fights against is this craving to be accepted, this craving to be praised, to be uplifted. God deliver us from that. Because all we are doing, let's be honest, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I know that if anything good happens at Buffalo Ridge, it's not me, it's God. You know if anything happens good in your ministry, it's not you, it's God. You say, wait a minute, I'm working hard. I'm glad you are. But how would you, listen, how would you work if God took the ability away from you? Everything points back to God. Everything. Everything does. And let us understand and be on guard with this. Now, let me encourage us today. That when you compliment somebody who sings, or you compliment somebody who preaches, or somebody who teaches a lesson, always praise God through that person. Always say, boy, I tell you, the Lord spoke to me through your song. I'm going to tell you something. Boy, the Lord spoke to me in that message. I needed that. Thank you, Pastor, for this. Thank you for preaching that. God really used it. Do you see the difference? Always give God praise. And may the ministers never sit back and say, yeah, I like that. Now, folks, don't you see the danger? Don't you think it was tempting for Paul and Barnabas to kind of relish in that for a little while? I mean, Iconium, they wanted to kill them. Now they're wanting to praise them and do sacrifice to them. And I see right there danger. That's what it is. Everybody with me there? You got it? Let's go to the next thing, because it ties right into it. It's the same thing. It's really the same message tonight, just two separate parts. The danger, they want to worship you. Now, here's the last thing, and I call this the lesson about denial. Denial. Now, this is hand in hand with the danger here, but look at it. Look at verse number 14. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes. By the way, in my study, if I'm remembering correct here, that renting their clothes was a culture thing. And it was them literally saying, that disgusts me. I'm disgusted with that. And it says, and ran in among the people, crying out, verse 15, and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had done that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Let me paraphrase what they're doing here. In these verses, we read how when Paul and Barnabas heard this, they became aware of it again, how these people trying to worship us and offer sacrifices, not to God, but to us, they completely denied that worship. They denied it. The Bible says they rent their clothes, ran among them, and tried to set them straight by pointing them to the God that was doing the miracle through them. You know, in their protest here, to this false worship, you're talking about boldness. I mean, you're talking about bold. In verse number 15, the Bible says that they said, we're also men of like passions, and we preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities. Do you see that? He's talking about their gods. the one that they worship. They thought that their gods had visited them. I mean, they had the priest of Jupiter in that place. He's the one bringing it. And they run in and say, listen, we're trying to turn you away from this emptiness. What boldness Paul and Barnabas had, I'm telling you. And we see them here that they completely denied this man worship. They told these people that they were only human. And they were preaching to them about the living God whom they should worship. And the Bible says that they told them how the living God that they should worship, the one who did this miracle, verse 15, is the one who created all things. Verse 16, he's the one who was patient with them. Verse number 17, he's the one that's good and he gives us rain and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. May I say this to you? You have food to eat because of the goodness of God. These seasons that come and go, that's the goodness of God. If the seasons didn't come and go, the earth would not yield its increase. God is good. God has created the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it. And he said he's patient with us. He's good all the time. He sends the rain and he sends the fruitful seasons and he fills us with food and he fills us with gladness. In other words, the God who is represented with so much evidence is the one who needs to receive this worship from man. All he has done and how good he has been should cause us to fall down and worship him alone. Just think of his patience. Just think of the patience of God. Verse 16, look at it. Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. What's that mean? Paul said in times past, he just let the nations do their own things. Paraphrase. God is patient. God is a patient God. He just lets the people, if they so choose, he lets the people just do their own thing. When he could strike them just like that, he lets them just keep going on in their own way, keep the door of opportunity open. Now, eventually, it will do like this. You understand, right? But how patient is God? Think about it. Think about it. One man put it this way. God's patience with the human race is beyond our comprehension. Men blaspheme him and curse him. They blame him for the consequences of their own sins. They accuse him of coldness and callousness. They distort or deny the truth he's revealed about himself. They insultingly turn their backs upon him. They ignore him and live as though he does not exist. They liken him to snakes and creeping things. They make graven images of every imaginable thing and worship them instead of him. They serve demons and worship Satan. And instead of rising up in his wrath and pouring out his vials upon the earth, by the way, he's going to one of these days, but right now, instead of doing that, he looks the other way, turns the other cheek, goes the extra mile. Such is the patience of God. Let me tell you something, and I'm thinking to myself, if it wasn't for the patience of God, friends, there's none of us going to be here tonight. God is a patient God. Think about his goodness and blessings. Now let's just stop. Don't think about me. I'm not thinking about you. Think about yourself, your life. And let's just think about the food that he fills us with. Let's think about, that's what Paul said. Let's think about the gladness that he allows us to enjoy. Let's think about the seasons. These are all things Paul pointed them to. Let's think about the seasons, summer, fall, winter, and spring. They just come and go like clockwork, right? All of that points to this. He is good. He's a good God. And he's good not only to the good, he's good to the bad. May I say this to you? He puts the rain on the good and on the bad. He lets the rain fall on the godly and on the ungodly. He has, listen, everybody, whether they're right with God or not, goes through winter. goes through summer, goes through spring, goes through fall. Everybody, whether they're right with God or not, God puts food on their table. I'm just telling you, friends, Paul is telling them, I'm just like you. Barnabas is saying, don't worship me. I have passions like you. Worship the one that we represent. He's the one who sends the seasons. He's the one that gives you food. He's the one that gives you gladness. He's the one that's created the sea and the earth and the creeping things. He's the one that created you and created me. Don't you see what Paul's doing? There's no way on this planet that Paul was going to accept that worship. No way. No way. Let me tell you one reason why, in my opinion. Because Paul knew where he was when God found him. Paul knew who he was. And he knew that every good thing about him had nothing to do with him. He knew it all had to do with the amazing grace of God. And he denied, flat out denied, man worship. Now folks, listen. We need to learn this same lesson. I mean, Oliver Green said it this way, just thinking about the goodness and blessings of God. He said, the seasons are remarkable proof that God is good. Seasons when the earth yields her increase and produces in abundance that we might have food to eat and clothes to wear. Times when man's labors are crowned with fruitful harvest. And yet, as he went on to say, he said, how many millions go about their daily lives today without one thought of God's manifestation of himself in allowing them life and the necessities to maintain it? Hey, you're only here today because God lets you be here. Hey, he not only creates us, he holds us together, by the way. He not only creates, but by him all things consist. Let me ask you a question. How much has God blessed you? You know what the devil's a master at? He have all these blessings coming at us, and one bad thing, and what do we focus on? You know the preacher's giving it to you straight tonight, don't you? He's a master at that. He's a master at causing you to look through all the blessings of God and see that one thing that's driving you crazy. And I'm telling you tonight, we need to get this lesson in our crawl. Can I put it that way? What's the lesson we learn here? It builds on the last lesson. The danger. Be on guard when man wants to worship you. Now here's this lesson. We are to completely deny it when the praise that belongs only to God, people are trying to give to us. And rather, we're to take that time, use that time to deny their worship and point them to the God of heaven who they need to be worshiping. Again, I quote from Oliver Green. He said, Paul and Barnabas took no personal credit for anything they accomplished in their ministry. And their aim was always to point the people to the God whom they served and the Savior through whom salvation could belong to all who would accept him. Let's be honest. We live in a world where man worships man. We do. If they can catch a football, they're worshiped today. Big deal, they called a football. They get up, all this kind of stuff. Big deal. If they can dribble a basketball and shoot a three-pointer from about the half-court line, everybody thinks that's the greatest thing, and they just want to grow up to be just like them. If they can hit a ball 400 feet, their worship today. If they can sing, how many singers are worshiped today? You know what I'm talking about. Now think about all the man worship in sports, in entertainment, all these other kind of things. How patient is God? If God struck down every person who received the praise of man, how many people would drop dead tonight? Let me ask you a question. Would you drop dead? See, it's easy to say that about them and them and them and them and them, but here's the danger, folks. It's one of the attacks of the devil in the church today. If he can't knock you off course by persecution, and he can't knock you off course by opposition, he'll send somebody along to you and start just stroking your back and telling you that you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. And I tell you one thing, if it wasn't for you, I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for you. Look here, please, don't ever tell me that. Because it's not where would you be without me, it's where would we be without him. Amen. Now this, we need to learn this lesson. Now there's a fine line. Is there anything wrong with encouraging somebody? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about worshiping people, praising people, saying things to a man that you ought to be telling God. Understand what I'm saying to you? That's what they were doing with Paul and Barnabas. They were going to sacrifices to them. And Paul said, no, they're ripping their clothes. That's disgusting. That's not who we are. We're not worthy of that. Only God is worthy of that. God help us to do that today. And this is so simple, it's ridiculous. But may I say this to you? Let us not only be on guard for persecution. Don't be tripped up when it comes. But let us also be on guard for the praise of man. Trying to tell us and build us up in something that, listen, that's God's place. That's not mine. Amen or not tonight? We learn these two principles. Now, when you put all these things together, I don't mind saying it, these are six great lessons to apply. We've got to apply these six lessons to our life. We've got to understand that it not only, listen, it's not only important what we say, but how we say it. That's number one. When we give the truth, number two, not everybody's going to be in favor of it, and we should just keep on going. That's number two. Number three, there does come a time when God gives you common sense. And he leads his children along, and it's okay to depart and move on because God is protecting your life. Number four, no matter where you go, the method stays the same. The message stays the same. Don't fall and cave in that you've got to change your methods to reach people today. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't mind trying new things like mass mailings and bus routes and adding bus. That's all methods. You understand that, right? I'm for it. Listen, methods can change, but there's one Bible method that should never change, and that is the preaching of the gospel message. It never changes. And that is what builds a church, is the preaching and teaching of the truth of the gospel. And we trust God to build the church. We go forward. That's number four. Number five, tonight, we need to be on guard against the danger that when we serve God, the devil sometimes tries to stone us. Sometimes he'll try to praise us. And both of them are dangerous. When somebody tries to praise you and give you the praise that only belongs to God, the way to respond is say, well, thank God for it. Praise the Lord for it. Now, don't get me wrong. If you happen to mess up one of these times and come to me and say, boy, Pastor, that was just great. Whatever. Don't think you're gonna drop dead, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is this. Let's be careful when we speak. That if God has used somebody in your life, a message, a song, let's be careful to give the praise to God, not to another human being. And then let's be on guard that when somebody tries to do that for us, let's deny it completely. Now, that does not mean that if somebody comes to me and says, boy, you're a great pastor, I'm going to start renting my clothes. You know what I mean? No. You know, sometimes it's just training. Because really that's what people mean when they say it, right? God used that in my life. And sometimes it just comes out, boy, that's just the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. Let's try to change it and say, I tell you, that was great tonight. God really spoke to my heart. See the difference? We give Him the praise. Now, how do you give an invitation in this? It's one of them hard messages to say, hey, come, you know what I mean? Here's how God's laying it on my heart. Has God been good to you? Has He really been good to you? Has He been patient with you? Can I put it this way? Hasn't He been patient with all of us? And think about the rain that Paul mentions. He sends the rain from heaven. He gives us fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You ever been glad? You ever just been rejoicing? I mean, I know life's not always, I mean, sometimes it's just a good night. The weight of the world's on you, but isn't it good when you have the times of gladness? You ever had one? I hope you have. If you don't, something's wrong. Think about when you've been glad. Just glad. Man, that's great. That's the goodness of God. Think about right now in this fall season and before long the winter's coming. And not long after that, spring starts coming. And then summer. Think about the next time it rains. Paul said that's the goodness of God from heaven. He's being gracious to us, providing food for us, taking care of us. So tonight, I feel led that we turn, really every service ought to be a service like this, but I feel led that we turn this invitation time into a praise time. That we get on our faces, even if you can't do that literally, you can't get on your knees because of physical problems, your heart can bend as low as your knees can now. And all we do is say, God, help me never accept the worship that belongs to You. And God, help me never give my worship to another human being. But help me to always give my praise to You. And I, by the way, God, I'd like to thank You for creating the sea. Just walk through these verses. Creating the heaven and all the things therein. Creating me, for verse 16, for being patient with me. For verse 17, for not leaving yourself without a witness in my life. I want to thank You, God, that You're good and that You've given us rain and that You give us fruitful seasons. And that You fill my heart with food. And You fill my heart with gladness. It honestly, isn't that precious? Isn't that precious? When Paul could have said so many things, he said, I want you to give this praise to the God who created you, who's been patient with you, who's given you a witness about Himself, who gives you rain from heaven so that you can have food to fill your heart and so you can have a smile on your face. What a God we serve, friends. Honestly. You know what He wants tonight? You know what He wants? He wants my praise. You know what He deserves tonight? He deserves my praise. Brother Gary, you may have already planned on this, but I love that song. You know where I'm going here. For our invitation hymn, we're going to sing, I Will Praise Him. I Will Praise Him. And I want us to conclude our service tonight. Can we do this? Literally, for many of us, on our knees. But even if you can't literally do that, spiritually you can in your heart. And let's just praise God tonight. That's really what the service is about tonight. We're only human beings. God help us never to accept the worship that belongs to God. Amen tonight? Yes? Then let's give Him praise tonight from our hearts. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would You bless? Would you help us to be faithful to You? And would You help us to praise You? To glorify You? To honor You? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Obviously, the altar is always open for somebody who may need to be saved. If you're here tonight but you've never come to Jesus Christ, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible, share the gospel with you. And tonight, as we're focusing on this, and how these people tried to praise and worship Paul and Barnabas, but yet Paul and Barnabas, they didn't have anything to do with it. They denied it. And they pointed them to the God of heaven, the God of creation, the God of goodness, the God of patience, the God of food. Just think about the food. Think about all the food that you have eaten in your lifetime. That doesn't mean it was all of God, you understand, but think about all the food that you've eaten in your lifetime. That's the provision of God. Don't we lose sight of that? I just wanted just to begin to play. And if God is speaking to your heart and you want to come and you want to kneel at this altar, I want you to come. Or if you want to just kneel at your seat, I want you to kneel there. Or if you can't kneel physically, I want you to kneel spiritually in your heart. And when you come and you pray, we're just praising God. I would encourage you to praise Him for what Paul and Barnabas said. Praise Him for creating us. He's the living God that made heaven and earth and the sea. All things that are therein. He's the God who in times past have suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. That means He's patient. He's the God that's not left Himself without witness. He's the God who is good, who gives us rain and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food. Gladness. Let's praise Him tonight. We'll begin to sing this in just a moment, but let's just spend some quiet time here for just a moment. And we'll begin to sing here in just a moment. What song is that, brother? 256. I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin. I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when He said, "Wilt thou be clean?" I will praise Him. I will praise Him. The Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain.
Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad He took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each.
Let's all stand together, sing this last verse together, shall we? Here we go. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory to the Spirit, glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain. This will be our closing prayer. Let's sing that last verse again. The altar's still open. If you need to come, you come. As we sing this tonight, sing it from your heart. This is what it's about. Giving God praise on the mountaintops and the valleys. Your life is full of gladness. Your life is full of sorrow. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And we give Him praise. We give Him glory. How it must break His heart. So much praise that belongs to Him is going to the wrong place. And may we at Buffalo Ridge say, not here. May He look in on us. May He be pleased. May a smile come to His face when He looks at Buffalo Ridge, and may He say, I like that. I like that. That's why we exist, right? This is it. Let's sing it together, shall we? Let's sing this together.
Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One.
Give Him praise. Lift Him up.
I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away each stain.
She's playing through that. God bless you. You're dismissed tonight. Thank you for coming. If you need to see me, I'll be up here. Okay.